I'm Sam Lubman. That's Carter Chicken. We got Bonta Hill and Evan Giddings also joining us here for the crossover. And we got one of the biggest games of the year on Saturday. And you know the place for the watch and hang is going to be at Laughing Monk Brewing with Lorenzo Neal and the aforementioned Evan Giddings for the 49ers kickoff show. And of course, if you're going to go to that game, we got the free shuttle back and forth. And all you have to do is sign up at 957thegame.com. Better do it quickly because seats on the shuttle are going pretty fast right now. That's 957thegame.com. All right, do we want to talk about this Niners Seahawks game we got going on tomorrow?
I'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
I got to ask you, Bonta. You're a fan too, so let me ask you.
Overnight dancers? That's what you want to tell me?
I gave him a shout this morning for you.
Yeah, good,
thank
of course.
You. Appreciate that.
Look, does the Seahawks rivalry have the same allure for you still?
I'm hoping this game brings back that sizzle.
Yeah.
I was talking about somebody about that last week. I'm so old now, I forget the conversations I have, but it kind of lost its luster.
For sure.
It lost its luster, no doubt about it. And the Rams have become that number one rival in the NFC West. And then you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, they become a bigger rival for the 49ers just because of the fan bases between Philadelphia and San Francisco. But these are the type of games that brings a rivalry back. And you have the components for it, Evan. Lubman and Carter, for it to be a rivalry again, to be that top rivalry next to the Rams. Jackson Smith and Jigba, D'Amador Lenore. Kenneth Walker, he's been trash-talking D'Amador Lenore. Lenore trash-talks the entire Seahawks team. McDonald against Shanahan. You got the Darnold component. You got this young defense flying around thinking that, hey, Witherspoon, I can lock down anybody, whether it's Ricky Pearsall, George Kittle, or whatnot. So you have the components for this rivalry being back. And you hope that it's a great game tomorrow night, a la 2019 when Drake Greenlaw made the great hit at the goal line there. So, but it did, Evan, you've been watching this rival for a long time. It has lost its luster compared to where it was a decade ago.
Yeah, and I feel like that's Seattle's fault, to be honest, not really the Niners. I mean,
totally agree.
The Niners haven't, they've had a couple of down years, but they've been pretty damn competitive. Since the Legion of Boom and Russell Wilson, they just have been kind of on the back burner. And even with Pete Carroll, you know, they didn't really have a quarterback after Russ. And Geno is a nice stopgap, but it feels like they've found a new one. And I think more importantly, they've gotten back to what made them so formidable during their success, which was defense. That it's a team that we were all watching college football yesterday. It's like when you're watching Georgia and Ole Miss, like those guys hit. You can feel every single tackle. And for the last few seasons, I just don't really feel like Seattle has been a team that you think of as being a physical force. Is it, you're not walking out of that game with a list of injuries that the Niners have amounted this season. You're not walking out of that game feeling like, damn, like they hurt our guys. Or we're, you know, even if we got the win, we left battered and bruised. So if I'm going to be honest, if there's anybody's fault, and we could talk about it with Softy too, that's something I'm going to throw at him. If there's anybody's fault in this that it hasn't been that feeling of a rivalry, to me it's in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, and I do think like it's a good point. I do agree with you because like that 2019 game, it was almost like an inflection point of sorts to where it's like it kind of propelled the Niners into this, you know, successful era of Kyle Shanahan football. Whereas conversely, on the other side of it, that loss that night was kind of the beginning of this little kind of rebuild the Seahawks have had to do over the last few years. Now you're finally seeing the fruits of that rebuild come to fruition here in this team and this defense where, I mean, we had Dick Fan on, Softy's co-host. He's saying that he ranked this defense up there with the 13-14 teams defense, the Legion of Boom teams.
Wow.
Now, of course, it's a little bit different.
I don't see a Cam Chancellor on the other side.
It's a little bit different in how they're doing it, but in terms of just how this defense has kind of been carrying the Seahawks team, while, you know, Sam Darnold, he's been struggling these last few games. He's been looking a lot like the Sam Darnold that we kind of like to pigeonhole him as, and yet the Seahawks, they're 6-0 in that stretch because the defense has been basically like however many turnovers Sam Darnold has accounted for, the defense has answered back. And so that's the defense has very much been keeping the Seahawks afloat. And if the Niners are going to win this game, I do think that when you look at how the Seahawks have struggled to score in the first half, this is a tall ask, but I need the Niners to come out firing and putting up big points in that first half. Try and blow them out in that first half because you know this offense is going to wake up for the Seahawks in the second half and start to make it close. The bigger cushion you have there, the better you're going to be feeling.
7 of the last 8, the Niners have won against Seattle, to your point, Evan, about this rivalry being so one-sided. And look, let's face it, the best defense for the 49ers is going to have to be their offense.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to score 30-plus in every single game moving forward. And do they have the capabilities to do that? I think they do. But this is a divisional game, and you guys know what I love to say. Division games are different.
It's going to be mucky. Potential had t-shirt game, too.
No, I didn't invent that. That was I'm not taking credit for that.
It was a Bob Spadoni, right?
Yeah. For some reason, I take Spadoni off with that. He act like he invented it. No, I just say it because some people think that divisional games are just going to be blowouts left and right. No, it's not.
Against the Cardinals. Maybe
against the Cardinals. Maybe. Yeah, they're down and out right now. But, I mean, look, the offense has to be clicking on all cylinders. Long clock eating drives, 10 play, 11 play, 12 play drives that take up 5 to 6 to 7 minutes. And keep Sam Darnold off the football field. Keep JSN off the football field. And limit your defensive snaps. Like, you don't want your defense out there for 70 snaps. You want them around there for about 50 to 55 so you can keep them off the field and you can get some situational stops, some timely stops by this defense here. Because if Darnold does get comfortable, he can throw the ball around. Like, he can sling it. We saw that last year in Minnesota when he, what was that, 98 yards, 97 yards for Justin Jefferson? I mean, he can do that.
Yeah, he's got a cannon. There's no doubt on
that. Great throw over the football.
I think
great
that I'm aching, as you are, for this rivalry to come back. Before going into the season, this was the first year I'd really felt like we need to watch out for Seattle. Like, I hadn't felt that in previous, you know, in the last maybe 5-6 years. And so I think that it is starting to get its spark back a little bit, which is good because, you know, this rivalry with the Rams isn't fun because they don't have any fans, so there's no one even to talk to.
You can't
to,
talk
right?
to, yeah.
Yeah, with Philadelphia, you can't Long. Talk to them because they all belong in prison. I mean, it's
wow.
just
Well, they're
balance.
Just not fun to, yeah. Eagle fans, just, they're just not fun to argue with. Well, especially yeah, when they're coming off a Super Bowl win, you don't really have any ammunition.
They are some of the dumbest people I've ever come across.
I mean, it's just
they're
an
angry fan base. Like, I mean, what are you angry about?
Wow, they beat the Buffalo Bills, and I get that it was ugly in the second half.
It was a fun game.
But they have 17 yards of offense in the second half. Yeah. But you won in Buffalo. You won.
That's
ugly.
That's impressive.
They were still games. Bitching and moaning about the way they won. Yeah.
Well, that's just how Eagle fans are. They just love to complain about no matter what. It would be fun to have them come out here and put their fans through
well,
whatever
ringer. If you lose on Saturday, you're probably going to Philly.
Well, that's the other side of that. Yeah,
that's tough. You with all you, that said,
you're going to fly out to Philly? Philadelphia.
Put down now,
hey, listen.
But
I'll put their fan base down, but that football team,
it's legit.
I have a lot of respect for them. And I still think, if you ask me to rank the guys, or rank the NFC, on the favorite to go to the Super Bowl right now, I'd still say Philadelphia.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't hate that at all.
I don't disagree with it.
People are not giving credit that they have been, their offensive line has been banged up the entire year. Mm-hmm. Like, if you get that back intact, that's a serious football team to me. I mean, Evan, do you disagree?
I think, look, Philly's got... They got everything on paper, but you watch it, and this is actually, to me, why they're kind of like the antithesis of the Niners, but they're in a similar place. The Niners on paper, for the majority of the year, you're like, this team ain't it. But if you watch them play every Sunday, right. you realize why they win games. Philly is a team that on paper you look at and you go, damn, that's a squad. Yep. And then you watch them play and you're like, why can't they run the ball? Mm-hmm. Why isn't A.J. Brown getting open? Even DeVonta Smith hasn't done a whole lot this year. Jalen Hurts is playing scared. That defense hits, but they're not as intimidating as they were last season.
No.
Now, don't get me wrong. Philly's a very good football team. But to me, they're far more intimidating on paper than on the actual gridiron, as opposed to the Niners, who when you watch them play, you're like, that squad might be able to do something. And on paper, you're looking at them like...
It doesn't make sense.
DeMarcus Robinson.
Right. Yeah. Does coaching matter in that?
Well, that's why I look at the Eagles. Their OC Kevin Petula or whatever. Yep. That's a fired coach walking right there. He's gone as soon as this season ends. He is, I think, just not knowing how to use that offense. I look at the Eagles' offense, and sure, they might be struggling to put up points, but when you got Jalen Hurts, Saquon, AJ Brown, DeVonta Smith, Dallas Goedert in that very experienced offensive line, you know it's like a sleeping giant. You know at any point that they are capable of just exploding for 30 points.
Then why don't they?
I don't know.
No, seriously, like I'm asking. Nobody's got the answer.
No one does.
Why
yeah.
don't they?
Well, Lane Johnson's out. Their star right
yeah,
tackle. He's been
say,
out for a while.
The running back thing is, right. that's exactly it.
Their offensive line's been a little beat up. They've had some injuries with Jalen Carter. And also look at their schedule. I can't believe I'm giving Philadelphia the benefit of the doubt here, but just on the outside looking in, you look at their schedule, they had a number one first place schedule, I should say. Their games, like, let's look at it for a second. I'm pulling up their game log right here. In the start of the season, think about how loaded it was. Dallas, Kansas City, the Rams, Tampa Bay, Denver. All right, you got a little joke with the Giants, and they lost that game on Thursday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Then at Minnesota, who we thought would be a lot better than the Giants. Then coming out of the bye, Green Bay, Detroit, they beat both those teams. They beat them.
No real downtimes in that other than, again, a divisional game here and there.
And when you're the hunted, when you're in a hunted, it's different. It's different when you go into every game and that's that opponent's Super Bowl saying, we're playing the champs tonight. We got to bring our A game. So once they get to the playoffs, they're going to have a sigh of relief like, all right, cool. We're
now
back
the
in the
real,
postseason.
Now the real season begins.
Exactly. So I wouldn't count out Philadelphia whatsoever.
I also want to cape up for A.J. Brown a little bit. Like he's picked it up in the second half of the season here. He's had 400-yard games in the last six, and one of them that he didn't was against the Raiders where he only had two receptions, so I'm sure it was a blowout. So didn't watch
it
the
was
game,
a blowout.
But I could probably guess
it's
it was
a Raider
blowout.
Game. It was a blowout. Be cool if it was a Niner blowout tomorrow night, though. Probably not going to be the case, though. But
not according to Ken.
Well, yeah,
he thinks
it's going to
be a blowout?
No, he thinks the Niners are going to lose, but he just has to be.
Thinks they're going
to
get smoked.
Well, you suggest
they might,
right?
Yeah, the Dolphins.
No, Dolphins are
fine. Yeah, yeah. You dismiss them for
the other stinky AZ's team.
Even worse.
All right. Carter Chickering, I'm Sam Lohman, Evan and Bonte.
Wait, you guys
are
leaving early?
Yeah, we're done. Crossover ends at 10:12.
And it's 10:12. You got 20 seconds to fill.
Yeah, so I mean, fill it with some goodbyes.
Get us out of here so fast.
Damn, leaving us like that? I'm not ready to do 4 hours.
I want
to
hear for the last 20 seconds. I want to hear, Bonte, how excited you are for this Jazz game on Saturday night.
Yeah, I'd say George is playing at an all NBA level.
Dude, they
you guys wouldn't know that.
Speaking about shootouts, they can score.
Lowry marketed, Keontae George. Yusuf Nurkic, they're playing well in Utah.
Yusuf Nurkic.
Hey,
that's why Draymond Green sitting tonight.
That's
why he's
ready for a Nurkic game, dog. Hey, listen.
He's got to get the shoulder warmed up for spin swings.
I know everybody around here doesn't watch League Pass. Keontae George can score.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't need League Pass. I got you.
No.
All right. Evan and Bonte coming up next. Fun stuff, Carter. We'll let the Joes do it next week. All right. Evan and Bonte coming up next.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
They are Stymie and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, what is going on, everyone? A happy Friday, a happy holiday season, happy new year. Welcome to 2026. We got you locked and loaded on a Friday from 10 to 2. Big thank you to Carter and Sam. And now, Bonte Hill in the house. My name is Evan Giddings. We got you for the next 4 hours on Stymie and Guru. B, what's going on, baby? How you doing?
Evan, this is our first time doing a show together.
I know, I'm excited.
This is long overdue. How many conversations I've had with you off air, picking your brain. You have so much knowledge. And first and foremost, let's give Evan Giddings a round of applause on air once again. My man caught a Warriors game solo bolo for 95.7 a game. And I remember walking into the bathroom during that game, and I'm hearing Evan over the loudspeaker in the bathroom, and I almost shed a tear. Because it was about 4 years ago, Evan had just came onto the scene in the 95.7 game. He goes, Bonte, what's up, man? You got any advice for me? And I said, hey, man, come roll with me to Timeless Coffee. You rolled with me to Timeless Coffee. You had a great conversation about your career, what you need to do, some of the steps you could take. And you just picked my brain. You listen. And here we are 4 years later. You're hosting shows. You're calling NBA games. You're going to St. Mary's right after this, so I'm so proud of you, and I wanted to give you your flowers, man.
Well, I appreciate
you're doing a hell of a job.
I was just going to bring up that fact that I still remember that conversation like it was yesterday. Got in the Batmobile. You know, you whipped us over to Timeless Coffee. Yeah. You know, with you're picking up pastries for people. Folks are coming up saying what's up, and the whole time we just, you know, we're rolling over the Bay Bridge, and I'm like, B, like, you know, how do you make it in this market? Because I know, you know, you've had your path. Everyone has a different path. And I remember one of the first things you told me was that you bet on yourself, whether it was, you know, getting out on All-Star Weekend in New York City, whether it was, you know, writing for the paper, going to college later than most people, just digging in and trusting yourself, really. So I'm excited to be rocking with you today because, like you said, we get to have these conversations off air all the time. We talk about sports. You and I are like-minded. And the work ethic was the first thing that I really felt like we connected on, because I did it in different places, but you did it here in a place you're from. Yep. and obviously have risen to the spot you are. So
yeah, seeing your mother at the event at Fisherman's Wharf, what was that, a couple months ago for your tip-off, for your opening day. Your mom was just smiling ear to ear, so happy to see her son on there. So that's all the compliments I got for you, Evan. Let's get the show started, man. We're getting all mushy around here, but it's good to be back on 95.7 again. I got Pasta. He's another mentee right here. He's doing big things. He's got this into some trouble with some big moguls here in the Bay Area. We helped navigate that. We've navigated that. He's in the clear now. He's back in good graces. And we got a lot to talk about, Evan. We got Niners, Hawks.
Well, I was going to say, that's the game that's going to be bringing the edge. We're going to get into the Warriors. We got some stuff coming up later in the show. But we got to start with the big game, because I thought you put it perfectly. And when Carter was talking about the rivalry, like, this does feel like the first game, and you know, far more and have a real intimate and even, like, you know, just imagery of knowledge when it comes to the Niners. But since 2019, it's felt like this game has been just kind of on the back burner. Yeah. You know, we've been trying to manifest this energy, and it's almost like every single time the Niners play the Seahawks, especially since Brock Purdy got here and went in that first Thursday night, won the division with the broken rib cage in Seattle, slayed the Dragon. We've just been waiting for Seattle to be a team that was worthy of that stage. And now, because of the path the Niners have taken, it does feel like the season should culminate in this game. I'm a little sad it's not Sunday night. I realize you got Ravens Steelers to get in. You got to peel to the East Coast and all that. But this is a game of, I think everyone has finally got to the point where they're like, the Niners deserve to be in this kind of game, and they deserve to play for the one seed.
You know, you bring up Sunday night. That was the only downer from Sunday Night Football against Chicago.
Yeah.
When the schedule got released, I said, damn, why Saturday?
Saturday?
Warriors Jazz on Saturday. What? So that's going to be I'm going to be a mess Saturday night at Chase Center. But the NFL has tried to make this a rivalry again. They've had Thursday night games. They've had Thanksgiving night games where Christian McCaffrey went crazy. Brock Purdy's first game in Seattle. Remember, he went up there with broken ribs after out-dueling Tom Brady in his first career start. I went up there for that game, and it was a little lackluster in terms of the way the game played out, and you could tell Seattle was on its way out with Pete Carroll. Then you saw what happened week one. Jake Moody, obviously, was affiliated with the 49ers back then.
Yeah, he wasn't a Chicago Bear yet.
There was a lot going on, but the Seahawks came into the season with high expectations. They were picked by the naysayers alongside the Rams to win the NFC West. And for the Niners to win in the fashion that they did in week one in Seattle, a Bosa fumble. Remember Nick Bosa? Anybody remember Nick Bosa? Yeah, he was playing in that football game. He forces a fumble on Sam Darnold when they were driving to try to take the lead and win the football game. So I think we're getting closer and closer and closer. But then when you think about the stakes that are on the line, not only the NFC West divisional title, but the number one seed in a bye week to get the rest, to be two games closer to a Super Bowl in the Bay Area. And Seattle's thinking, boy, if we get to the Super Bowl, that's a short flight. We're on the West Coast. We're good. The 49ers obviously won't have to get on the plane for the rest of the season. And so when you have these type of games with these type of stakes, it does bring a rivalry back. And then you have the components. Think about the personnel. Well, Jackson Smith and Jigba, is there any other receiver under the age of 25 that you would want on your roster?
Nah.
Not even close, right?
He is nasty.
I mean, nasty.
And there's a lot of really good Ohio State wide receivers, and this season he has put himself in a different class. I'm with you.
So you have JSN against D'Amador Lenore. Now, he's not going to shadow JSN, but they'll be matched up at times together. You got a young Renardo Green and Upton Stout. This is, Upton Stout. He played in Seattle. Week one was his first NFL game. So he got a dose of what this rivalry was like. Alfred Collins, I was talking to him after the game last week, Evan, and he said, man, going up there week one in Seattle, it felt like Texas OU, the Red River Shootout. I'm like, whoa, that's one of the best rivalries in college football. Shanahan against McDaniel. Shanahan doesn't forget how McDaniel undressed him on Christmas Day back in 2023 against the Ravens.
Yeah.
Christmas Day where Brock Purdy could have thrown 7 interceptions. Let's be real. So,
and you know who finished that game for the 49ers?
Sam Darnold.
Yep.
And he's the quarterback now for Seattle, the ultimate they didn't want you game because they chose Brock Purdy for good reason. So there's the components that this rivalry is back. Now, you got to have a great game Saturday night. And you imagine if for it to be back all the way, you almost want Seattle to win, if you're one of those skeptics in the NFL, a Seattle win will bring this rivalry all the way back. But the Niners want to continue their dominance, win 8 of the last 9 against Seattle, of course. But you have the components there, Evan, to make this a rivalry again in NFC West and make it the top rivalry and kind of dethrone the Rams in that category.
Well, it's interesting. When the schedule came out, you see everything in the middle, but the two bookends, right? Week 1 and Week 18, yep. The Seattle Seahawks. And I don't know if it was just fortune that kind of laid it out this way, but Week 1 comes down to the wire. Niners win the coin flip game, the Tonjes 50-50 ball, like you mentioned, the Bosa sack. And then you fast forward months later. It's why kind of, as much as the Rams are still a rival, and those two games were great, the Thursday night game you pull out, and then they come back and get their revenge here at Levi's a few weeks later. This one's a lot different to me. Like, in a way, Week 1 counts from the schedule, and you got that victory, and you got that first leg up. But I don't feel the same way about that game as I felt about the second Rams game. Like, I felt like L.A. was coming in, and they were going to, like, they were revved up for that game. That was a game that was going to be very difficult for the Niners to win, even though it was at home. Ended up playing out that way. This one, in a way, like, and I think to your point about why it feels like rivalry is, I have no feel about this game. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's, I could absolutely see the Niners winning this game, and I could see Seattle winning this game. Yep. Whereas before, you know, the Rams, it's like, you know, Niners been playing real good.
It was a tough spot for the Niners.
They're not going to beat them twice. That's just exactly. It's a tough spot. This one, it's anything goes. It's for all the marbles. And finally, I'm just glad that everyone's been getting on board, because it's been hard to, due to the injuries, that the Niners are playing playoff football games. Yep. And the fact that they play for a chance to never leave home until potentially the Super Bowl, it just magnifies everything. So I'm happy that this game is here at Levi's, because I know you got to be, you know, doing Utah and the Warriors and all that. But I know you'll be there in spirit. I know you'll be there in spirit.
No complaints. I get a paycheck working in sports, so I will never complain about being at a Warriors-Jazz game. Trust me, I will have my ear to the street on what's going on at Levi's Stadium. Your boys navigated this before. I'll do it again. But Seattle's 7-1 away from home. They've been really good on the road this season. The long road game they lost, SoFi Stadium, when Sam Darnold threw 4 picks. If he doesn't turn the ball over, they're going to be difficult to beat because of that defense. And they, again, the components are here for the rivalry to be back. What about Clint Kubiak? Calling plays. The offensive coordinator for Seattle. There's a lineage between the Kubiaks and Shanahan, no doubt about that. So you got that aspect. You got the Darnold aspect. You got Kenneth Walker, who wants to run over this beleaguered defense right now. And for the Niners, they may not have Trent Williams. We don't know. He's got a hamstring injury. George Kittle will probably be back, but George Kittle got hurt with a hamstring injury in the first half against Seattle. So they haven't really seen George Kittle yet, and I'm eager to see what Seattle does if George Kittle does play in this football game. Do they put Witherspoon on him?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have Witherspoon shadow Ricky Pearsall? You know Juwan Jennings is going to want to get into the mix. He's playing some good football right now. So, look, I don't have a feel for this game either tomorrow. I think it's going to be a slugfest. The Niners know we can get the bye. We can not travel and stay at home for the remainder of the season. So, you know, they're going to let, like last night's Georgia-Ole Miss game. Those two schools let it all out. Hits, bombs, great running plays. You saw everything. Fake punts, trick plays. You got it all in the Sugar Bowl yesterday. And I feel like we're going to see that tomorrow night at Levi's Stadium. You're going to see some trickery. You're going to see some fakes. You're going to see some big hits. That's what these rivalry games need. That's what we need tomorrow at Levi's Stadium. And for all the marbles to get that number one seed. Boy, nobody wants to travel to Seattle for a playoff game. But if you're the 49ers, you're saying we get a bye week and Fred Warner would be closer to return for a playoff push. So I can't wait for tomorrow night, man. It's box office.
And that's the crazy part is Fred might be coming back for the playoffs, and I feel like, to your point, that's the fifth or sixth storyline. You know, part of it, too, is you got an unstoppable force and an immovable object. Like, the Niners and the Seahawks are the two hottest teams of the NFC. Right. Niners have not lost a game since Brock Purdy's come back.
Wow.
Seattle's won 6 in a row.
Wow.
So you got two teams that it isn't as if that they don't deserve to be in this spot. You know, it would be different to me if, let's say this was the Rams coming in, they'd lost a couple games in a row. You're like, yeah, they might be able to get you, but people are beginning to doubt the Rams a little bit. Injuries are hitting them, and they're showing that they can't overcome them. You know, it's like these two teams right now
are hot.
They are hot as hell, and it's gonna be the game that everyone cares about this weekend. It is the game that everyone has their eyes on, and it's the game that a few weeks ago, too, we're all wondering, That game might be for the one seed. Niners got to take care of their end of the bargain. Seattle's got to take care of theirs. And I remember because the Warriors are playing Phoenix on that Thursday night when the Rams were in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest. I did have one eye on the Warriors because, you know, you want to see them do well, and that game didn't go the way they wanted it to. But that Seattle-Rams game, to me, I was like, if Seahawks can get this game, that's going to mean something for the Niners.
Think about the two-point conversion.
Yes.
That they were able to get because it was called a forward, or what was it, a backwards pass, and they recovered it in the end zone. That single play.
I couldn't believe that play.
Could determine the number one seed in the NFC. Think about that.
Charbonnet didn't even know it was a live ball.
Weird things happen in Seattle, and that was some weirdness there in Seattle, and that determined that football game. That helped Seattle win that football game, and now they're in play. Again, two teams on six-game winning streaks, two teams that are red hot for all the marbles in the NFC. There's so much to love about this game tomorrow. Now, I don't love the uniforms that the Niners are wearing tomorrow. We can get to that. I'm a traditionalist. Call me an old man. Some people like the All Blacks with the gold face mask. I don't, but it is what it is.
Oh,
they're making
it.
A lot of money with that. It is what it is. But, boy, this is going to be a body bag game tomorrow night. There's no doubt. 5 o'clock, Levi Stadium. Aikman and Buck in the booth. Come on, Evan.
How's the faithful feeling? 888-957-9570. We are going to get into the Warriors. We're going to talk to Steve Kerr at 11:30, and then we're going to come back to the Niners with Softy Muller at 1 o'clock. We got a lot coming up on the show. That's Bonte Hill, Evan Giddings, all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. But I want to hear from you. How are you feeling about the one-seed game? This game could determine if the Niners do not leave the Bay for the remainder of the NFL playoffs. That is something I did not foresee. And I just want to know how people are feeling at 888-957-9570. Evan and Bonte filling in for Steiny and Guru today. That segment sponsored by Kalshi. Trade on anything.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Steiny and Guru out. Bonte and Evan in, hanging out with you until 2 o'clock. We are an hour away from Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, joining us. But until then, we got to get into this game. We got to get into this battle for the one seed at Levi's on Saturday, 5 o'clock. Buck Aikman, who, by the way, did I see that he's consulting for the Miami Dolphins? Troy Aikman?
He wants to get back in the game, Evan.
I mean, I guess so. He's quietly, like, that guy's still in really good shape. And
yes.
And he and Buck call a great game. So I'm sure they're going to be on their P's and Q's. And they got two really good quarterbacks to talk about. Two quarterbacks that, you know, for different reasons, B, I feel like Brock and Sam are both, like, people always got questions about them. You know, whether it's because of the draft spot, good and bad. Darnold is a guy that took him a long time to sort of figure out his footing in the NFL. Probably wasn't going to get there until he got to San Francisco and saw how it was done behind the scenes. You know, it's interesting because Darnold has given Brock all his flowers and told him, you know, how to study and really read defenses. But Darnold's his senior. Brock Purdy's still 25, 26 years old. So it's not really master versus pupil to me. It's both two guys that the NFL has for different reasons kind of looked at and said, eh. But now there's no doubt that they both deserve to play in this kind of game.
You know, when I think about quarterbacks, how many quarterbacks don't come with question marks, right, in this league? I think the only quarterback we don't question right now, and actually we're going to start questioning moving forward, is Patrick Mahomes.
That's a good point.
Like, Patrick Mahomes coming off the ACL, and you hear Greg Cosell on with Willard or Dibbs talk about him in the pocket, where he's not being, you know, where he's not as steady in the pocket as he was that first year when he came onto the scene. Even Josh Allen, we question. Lamar Jackson, there's questions swirling around him left and right. Will he be a Raven next season? So we're always going to have questions about these quarterbacks. But there's no doubt Darnold's playing some of his best football of his career, and Brock Purdy's on a heater having – accounting for 10 touchdowns over the last two games. 10 touchdowns in a six-day stretch. So they're both confident. So the quarterbacks, absolutely, that's a major storyline here. But what about the head coaches? You know one thing I haven't heard this season, Evan, for the first time probably since 2019, is that Kyle Shanahan's not on the hot seat. Every single season, at some point of the season, somebody brings up about it's something about Kyle Shanahan being on a hot seat. And after last season in 2024, Shanahan didn't get this team to the playoffs. He's missed the playoffs four times over the course of his career. Well, the first 2 years, this was an expansion team, especially that first season. The second season, Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt in week three. But the coaches, like Kyle Shanahan could put his stamp on probably his best coach season of his 49ers tenure. And you have Mike McDaniel, who's trying to plant his flag saying, hey, I'm one of the best young coaches in football. I'm here now. I've taken down McVay. I've taken down Shanahan. The NFC runs through Seattle. So the coaching matchup is just as juicy to me as the quarterback matchup.
And I feel like both teams have adopted the moniker of their head coaches, mm-hmm. right? Seattle, yes, they can run the ball. Darnold's been awesome this year. They probably have the best wide receiver in football in Jackson Smith and Jigba. But they're a defense-first team. Mike McDonald is a defensive play caller. And I feel like this year, you know, you look around the NFL and you're thinking about, well, who really calls plays on defenses that's a good coach? The only two that I could think of were D'Amico Ryans, who has the best defensive football in Houston, and Sean McDermott, who year in and year out kind of gets lost a little bit, but he is a defensive guy. Mike McDonald, outside of D'Amico, to me, he might be the best defensive play caller in football. Meanwhile, Kyle Shanahan, I've realized that they've gone through so much this year, and he's had his backup quarterback for 8 games, and Kittle missed 5, and Jawan's been in and out, and McCaffrey's been the only thing that's been constant. But I bet if you put a gun to Shanahan's head and said, is this the most fun you've ever had calling plays?
Wow.
I think he would say yes.
Wow.
Because he's been able to show the entire football world what he can do with literally anybody. Last week, your left tackle, Trent Williams, somebody who we all look at and say, well, he's the backbone of this offensive line. He goes down first series.
First play.
Pleasance comes in. Shanahan still schemes up a running game. Still gets Brock Purdy moving in the pocket. And Brock is obviously allowed to make plays. But I think that Kyle Shanahan is, like, the job that he's, I don't even know if he is going to understand how good of a job he's done this year, but just because he's such a present person.
Yeah.
But I think this is the most fun he's ever had calling plays for the Niners.
And it's the most fun I've had watching the 49ers under Shanahan outside of 2023. Right? 2019 was fun, too. Don't get me wrong. But everything you just laid out there, losing Trent Williams on the first play. You mentioned Kittle being in and out of the lineup. Purdy, Jennings, Pearsall. You don't have to worry about McKivitz anymore. That's been his mainstay for him, but Pooney was hurt earlier in the season. He couldn't get right with that PCL. The defense, I mean, you lose Bosa and Warner, Michael Williams. Guys have been in and out. C.J. West didn't play the first half of the season. You're relying on Alfred Collins, who, by the way, has made tremendous strides since day one at training camp. The secondary, Jair Brown, is he the guy? Is Mustafa? What's going on here? Pinnock is playing a little bit. So you've had injuries galore. He is having fun because it's been a good reset for him. I think last season, not making the playoffs, taking a step back, getting that extra month to prep for the new season, I think it helped out Shanahan tremendously. And I saw it in training camp, Evan. We talked all throughout the season. Talked to the boys in the morning. Shanahan looked refreshed in training camp. He had a glow to him that I saw back in 2019. He had a glow to him that I saw back in 2023. And you can just see his demeanor on the sidelines, at the podium. He's cracking a few jokes here and there. And I think the best is yet to come from him. I think he's got some stuff in store for tomorrow night, for the playoff run, that he's going to dig deep into his bag. Now, there's a couple decisions here and there every game that we could nitpick, say, yeah, I didn't like that with Kyle Shanahan. But for the most part, he's been aggressive this season. And that smile, that joy of coaching football again with a bunch of youngsters and a bunch of guys who probably wouldn't start on a lot of football teams. Yeah, he's having a lot of fun right now, Evan.
Well, and this is something I want to run by you because I wasn't yet covering the team in 2019. I haven't seen the entirety of the Kyle Shanahan era front and center like you have. Is this team, like, I feel like one of the reasons they were so refreshed coming into the year is because obviously what happened last season. But it almost reset expectations to a place where 2017-18, you're just hoping that they could put together some wins. The last few years have been so bad. They get to 2019, and they start to shock some people. But they did it with consistently the same cast of characters. It almost seems to me like, B, and you correct me if I'm wrong, like the reason why Shanahan was so refreshed is because those Super Bowl expectations, the expectation of having to go deep every year, of having to win in the NFC West, of having to get the one seed, that was kind of at the wayside, and it was like he could just enjoy football again.
You're spot on, because what made people love that 2019 team is, as you mentioned, the expectations were low. I was doing a show with Steiny Guru back then. And I remember this one specific show where I said, what happened to being a Super Bowl or bust organization? What happened to having these high expectations? Now, I believe they were going to go 8-8 that year, 9-7 maybe. But the calls lit up and people were like, yeah, you know, forget that. We need to get back to having high expectations. And I remember they started 3-0 and they beat Pittsburgh before a bye week. And they beat Pittsburgh despite turning the ball over like 4 or 5 times. And then they went on that run. Their first loss was to get Seattle on Monday Night Football, but they were 8-0. Then they had that 3-game gauntlet against Green Bay, Baltimore, and New Orleans. And the way they won that New Orleans game, 48-46, with the out route on fourth down from Jimmy G to George Kittle. And he's stiff-armed guys, and he's bobbing his head, and he's going crazy, and they win that football game. It was easy for fans to gravitate. And I thought this year, now it happened differently, but I thought this team, in a very similar fashion, the fans would grow to love this team. They would grow to love this team because you know what? The expectations weren't high. How many people picked the Niners to be in the hunt for the division title?
I didn't.
How many people picked the Niners to win 10 games?
I did not.
A lot of people thought 9-8, maybe 8-9. It's going to be a reset year. You're building for 2026, 2027. So, yes, the expectations being so low for a lot of fans, and they've exceeded them. And when you have big-time games like you did against Chicago, when you beat the Bears in the way that you did, when you beat the Colts in the way that you did on Monday Night Football, even more fans are going to come along for the ride and get on this bandwagon. And now tomorrow night, that sellout, Levi Stadium is going to be rocking at 5 o'clock. And so to your point, Evan, it's a great, very astute point there, the comparison to 2019 and to what we're seeing now. The expectations are low for both football teams.
And how are Niners fans feeling? At 888-957-9570, you've gotten all this way, and it comes down to Saturday night, Levi Stadium, Santa Clara, Niners-Seahawks. You can't ask for anything more. All right, I see Austin in Redwood City. I'm sorry, we got to hit a break here, but I will get to your call on the other side, I promise. 888-957-9570. Also, Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, coming up in 45 minutes.
Niner fans, wake up, baby!
Where are they at? Where are they at? That segment was sponsored by Safeway. It's the biggest game of the year on Saturday. We just told you. You know the place to be and where to hang out. Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale. I'll be there alongside Lorenzo Neal, greatest fullback to ever live, right down the street from the stadium. And, of course, if you're going to the game, a free shuttle back and forth, we got you set. Just go to 957thegame.com, hit the Eventbrite link, sign up, and do it quick because seats on the shuttle are going quick. That's Bonte Hill. Evan Giddings in for Steiny and Guru. Back after this, 957 The Game.